carts that we had ordered were all moving opposite directions, though the ground was perfectly flat, and they wouldn't stay in place even with their wheels blocked by stones. In addition, it seemed as though the sea was being sucked backwards, as if it were being pushed back by the shaking of the land. Certainly the shoreline outwards, many sea creatures were left on dry sand. Behind us were frightening dark clouds, rent by lightning, twisted and hurled, opening to reveal huge figures of flames. These were like lightning, but bigger. At that point, a Spanish friend urged us strongly, "If your brother and uncle is alive, he wants you to be safe. If he has perished, he wanted you to survive. So why are you attempting to escape?" We responded that we would not look to our own safety as long as we were uncertain about his. Waiting no longer, he took himself off from the creature at a mad pace. It wasn't long thereafter that the cloud stretched down to the ground and covered the sea. It girdled Capri and made it vanish. It hid Izzy Moose Promontory. Then my mother began to beg and urge and order me to flee however I might, saying that a young man should make it, that she, weighed down in years and body, would die happy if she escaped the cause of my death. I replied that I couldn't save myself without her, and then I took her hand and made her walk a little faster. She obeyed with difficulty and blamed herself for delaying. Now came the dust, though still thin. I looked back. A dense cloud was behind us, following us like a flood poured across the land. "Let us turn aside while we can still see, lest we be knocked over in the street, crushed by the crowd of our companions." We had scarcely sat down when darkness came that was not like a moonless or cloudy night, but more like the black of closed and unlighted rooms. We could hear women lamenting, children crying, and shouting. Some were calling for parents, others for children or spouses. They could only recognize them by their voices. Some moaned and mocked, that of their near and dear. There were some so afraid of death that they prayed for death. Many raised their hands to gods. Even more believed there were no gods any longer, that this was one last unending, unending night for the world. Nor were we without people magnifying real dangers with fictitious horrors. Some announced that one or another part of Mizzenham collapsed or burned, lies without the papers. It grew lighter, though that seemed not a return to day, but a sign that the fire was approaching. The fire itself actually stopped some distance away. The darkness of ashes came again, a great wheel. We stood up and shook off the ash off again and again, otherwise we would have been covered with it and crushed by the wind. I might boast that no burn escaped me in such perils, no cowardly word, but that I believed that I was perishing with the world, and the world with me, which was a great consolation in death. At last the cloud thinned down to no more than smoke or fog. Soon there was a real daylight. The sun was even shining, though with the lurid glow it had at our lips. The sight that wet our still terrified eyes was a changed world, buried in ash like snow. We returned and took care of our bodily needs, but spent the night dangling between hope and fear. The air was the stronger. The earth was still quaking. A number of people who had gone mad mocking the evils that happened to them, and others with terrifying prognostications. We still refused to go until we had heard news of the family, although we had felt danger and respect. You will read what I have written, but will not take up that, as the material is not the stuff of history. You have only yourself to blame, it seems that you are the proper stuff.